you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, May 9th, 2023. It's going to be a little different of a Testimony Tuesday, as my good friend Pastor Mark Jordan of the brand new denomination, the Global Methodist Church, preaches a message on God's stewardship to us, and I attended to support him and his special calling as his church just voted to disassociate with the United Methodist Church. But he and his congregation saw God's hand all over it, and this was his first message as a part of the Global Methodist Church. I should also say you're going to hear most of the message. There were other remarks made about this new transition, some great times of worship, some testimony time, and other concluding remarks, but you'll hear most all of the message over the next 23 minutes. Pastor Mark Jordan attends all of our monthly gatherings of the Ministry Leaders Network. He hosted a Mark and Friends program with me, loves God's Word, loves to evangelize, cares for people, and I call him my Barnabas because he's such an encouragement to me. His topic is the parable of the talents, and he calls us all to increased opportunity and responsibility with the talents we've been entrusted with, and he'll emphasize how God is in the process of stewarding to us so that we may steward it back to him. Here is Pastor Mark Jordan of New Horizon Church on Bloomington Road in Champaign. This was his Sunday message from May 7th, 2023.
Now, let me tell you about this thing called the parable of the talents. It's found in Matthew 25, I'm going to speak from, but it's also found in the Gospel of Luke, those two places. But the stories are very different. Well, I want us to be Bible-y. I want us to understand some things about our scripture. And you think, well, those aren't the same at all. Right. Think about this. Jesus traveled for about 3 years, teaching, preaching everywhere he went. He used some of the same stuff time and again. We see that in the scripture, and he would kind of fit it for the context. Doug Berkman is one of our bass players. He's a long-haired guy, big beard. And back in the day, he was a Deadhead, and he would follow the Grateful Dead all over the nation. He's been to over 100 shows, and he would go to the recording session or section of the auditorium with his battery-powered Nakamichi tape recorder, and there were all these guys there recording that particular concert because the Grateful Dead never did the same show twice. They improvised, and they played to the audience, and it was just this thing. And then those guys would trade those cassettes back and forth and everything. Jesus does the same thing. He will take a parable, and he'll switch that up a little bit for other people to hear. And that's what he's done here. So that's why those two are a little bit different. In Matthew 25, the one we're looking at, this is a parable about faithfulness. But it's not just about any kind of faithfulness. It's faithfulness to Jesus in light of Jesus returning one day. You hear that? Jesus says in the previous chapter, Matthew 24, therefore keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. And so he tells this parable that you and I might live every day. And if we wake up and our eyes open and we're not standing face to face with Jesus, we'll say, shoot, maybe tomorrow. But because I'm alive today, I'm going to work faithfully in preparation for the day of his return. Because nothing, Jesus would say, beats living into God's kingdom purposes. In our family life, in our work life, in our professional life, even in our hobbies and on our spare time. Nothing serves this heart of ours like pleasing God and knowing his joy. Now, I want to read through this parable rather quickly and then offer some reflections. So you can take notes if you'd like on the back of my program there and see if this isn't God speaking to us today. Let me read from Matthew 25, verse 14. That's where it starts. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them." So you can see Jesus is being metaphorical here. I'm going to go away. I'm entrusting you, and I will return. In fact, Luke, and this is the only time I'm going to quote Luke here, but Luke makes it very, very clear. While they were listening to this, Jesus says, "I'll tell you a parable." Because they were nearing Jerusalem, and the people knew that the kingdom of God would come. And so Jesus is talking about his return, living in the light of that return today, anticipating, and he has interests in you and in me and in our service in his kingdom until that day. Now, he entrusts this property to them. This is more than just money. This is opportunity. This is the chance to truly demonstrate our responsibility, our chutzpah. That's what this is. You know, when we send our kids out the door into adult life, we sure hope that they will contribute and achieve and do something purposeful and meaningful and add to the world. And Jesus has this same sense as he entrusts us with these things. Now go, I'm giving you this opportunity. Do great things in your world for the kingdom of God. Verse 15. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents of money, to another only 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Now, this is an unbelievable amount of money. That dude that got 5 talents, you're thinking maybe pocket change? I don't know. Is this a few silver pieces? What in the world is this? This amount, scholars tell us, this amounts to up to 60 pounds of silver. 60 pounds of silver that one talent, man, is a year's wages. This is crazy, crazy, crazy. If it's at the top end of the talent measurement, which is the largest denomination in the Roman currency, it was 20 years' wages. This is a wheelbarrow. And he dumps it at the dude's feet. And he says, occupy till I come. Do something with this till I come back. Now, the word talent, by the way, that we use with skills and abilities, and you can play a trumpet and all that kind of stuff, comes from this parable, because this parable was so widely spread that God has dumped on us this stuff, and we call it talent, so we take something away from this. Each according to his ability, God can see that, and then he goes away. He has stewarded to them so that they might steward back to him. That's the arrangement he set up here. Stewarding to them that they might steward back to him. Verse 16. The man who had received 5 talents went away at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents, he gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. So these guys are recognizing, all 3 of them are recognizing that what they were just given is not theirs. It belongs to their master. He is stewarding that to them that they might steward it back to him. And they're recognizing in this is not money. I get to go to Honolulu. This is opportunity. This is a time for me to show what I'm worth, to show what I can do. And there's even an urgency because he's coming back. So the quicker I get at it and the more busy I keep myself, the more I can demonstrate to him upon his return my faithfulness. So they got to work immediately and they did great things. They did what they were asked. They did what was asked of them, what was assumed that they would do. And they invested to increase the worth and the property of their landowner. Except for that one dude, man. Completely uninterested. The story goes on, verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned, settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And the man with the 2 talents came also. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained you 2 more. The master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. And so we see in this story, this is pretty cool, that the master had purpose in what he had done here. And the purpose was more than just having more stuff when he got back. The purpose was giving these guys opportunity to be involved in his stuff. He gave them opportunity. He gave them some capital. He gave them gifts. And what was the reward? It wasn't cash like now you can go to Honolulu. The reward was increased opportunity, increased responsibility. Open doors, open windows. Well done, he said to them. And we all love to hear that. And I think we all do like to be appreciated for what we've done and even given further opportunity. Now, the problem lies in this third guy, verse 24. Then the man who had received the 1 talent said, Master, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sowed, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant, you knew I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would receive it back with interest. Now, you might read this story and think, well, maybe the master is a hard guy. The way this is written is that this is an accusation. It's a false accusation from this servant to the master. It's harsh. It's harsh in the way he accuses this guy. It's totally not in keeping with the trust that this landowner has amassed upon this man with this incredible sum of money. It doesn't compute. If the man really thought the guy was a hard nose, he would have gone and invested it. And at least the guy would have had his money with interest when he got back. It was accusatory and it was spiteful. That's the thing. That's what this story is all about. If it was just selfish, you know, maybe he'd run off with it. But he buried it. When the guy came back, he had a purpose. He wanted to show the master that he couldn't give two hoots. Couldn't care less about the master's affairs. Go and do something with your own stuff. And so the master's response, lazy, means you've shirked your responsibility. You've not lived into who you could have been. You've dismissed this high calling. You've been unfaithful. I can't count on you. It's heartbreaking for the master. He'd raised him for much, much more. Now let me conclude this story, okay? This is verse 28. Take the talent from him, give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he does have, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the judgment upon this third servant is that he just made no attempt. He made no attempt whatsoever. He didn't fail. He didn't even try. He could care less. He would rather be outside. And so he was offered that. His inactivity led to his expulsion here. Time and time again, Matthew, in his parables, draws parallels, contrasts, I should say, contrasts between true and false disciples. Those who truly have a heart for God and follow him, and those perhaps who only have lip service. And you know these parables, the sheep and the wolves, the house built on rock and sand, the true and false prophets, the wheat and the tares, the wise and the foolish, the righteous and the unrighteous. Jesus is continually drawing this line and wooing people into the line of the profitable servant, those who understand the will of their Father and seek to live into that will. Now let me offer you some reflections, especially today as we consider this transition. I want us to understand the nature of what God has stewarded us. Now, we're moving away from the parable. We're learning from the parable. The nature of what God has stewarded us. A lot of times we just think, well, money. He's given us opportunity to earn money. We're the richest people in human history. And so we're thinking, how do we steward our money? That has to do with tithing, offerings, all that kind of stuff. How do we do well with what we have been given? I want to tell you today, this has nothing to do with money. This has to do with a more precious commodity than money. It's the people whom God loves and the people for whom Jesus died. That's what God is putting in our hands, New Horizon. A mission field full of people whom God loves. You know, last week we read the crucifixion of Christ in John. And at the cross, when Jesus is dying, there stands his mother with one disciple, it's John. And it's a beautiful, beautiful rendition. This is John 19. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. You see what happened here? Jesus is dying. He's going to depart. And he takes the most precious things in the world to him. And he puts them in the hands of another. John, take my mother. Mom, take John. And Christ has done this for us. Those are the talents that he lays into our hands. We have been stewarded that which is most precious to God, the souls of human beings. Go therefore to all nations, Jesus says, and make disciples, teaching them everything that I've taught you, and I'll be with you to the end. This is stewarding to us the mission field of the world. Stewarding to us the people in our lives, in our immediate family, the family that we came from, our workmates, those in our neighborhood, those right here among us. He's stewarding those to us, these precious, precious, precious souls. That's why this story is about this ridiculous sum of money, 20 years' wages. It's because there's no value that can be put on a human life or a human soul. And Jesus places that into our hands. And for Jesus, stewardship is not just, well, I've got this and I'll divvy this. Here's how I'll split up my paycheck and I'll steward it. Stewardship for Jesus is entrepreneurship. It's this opportunity. And when we step into it, that's what brings our lives meaning and purpose. Kingdom opportunity. I get to be a part of the greatest enterprise on earth that will touch life and eternity in the souls of human beings. And we get to share in the joy of the Lord. Come and share in your master's happiness. We're given that opportunity in spades, as God has poured into us, friends. This is powerful stuff. Now, what are Jesus' expectations here? I think this is important for us to hear. Jesus expects a return on his investment. Very clear from this parable. This is not, hey, go enjoy yourself while I'm away. Here's five talents. When I come back, and I'm coming back, I want there to be earnings. I'm going to settle accounts with you. I want to see what you've done with what I've given you. Now, I don't want anybody here to understand this parable as doing some kind of works saves us. This saves us, doesn't it, New Horizon? Faith and trust in the death and burial of Jesus Christ. It's not what we do in this world that earns us God's favor, but God calls us to do. He certainly calls us to do. We're to be keepers of the faith. We're to do the faith, not just believe the faith. That's written consistently throughout the scripture. And why does God do this? That we might share in his joy. You might think it'd be more fun to take those five talents and go to Honolulu. I don't know. And God is saying, nope, this is even better. There's nothing more gratifying, nothing more satisfying, nothing will fulfill you more than satisfying and serving the interests of the kingdom of God. Arm in arm with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Psalm 126. Those who sow in tears will reap with joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. And this is an allusion to us serving in this world, serving among the people that God has placed in our paths, these talents, if you would, of these people in the mission field, and the harvest we get to lay at God's feet one day. We bring the sheaves that we've harvested, and we've been given that opportunity. And we find in Revelation chapter 4, they're casting their crowns before him. He's not giving them crowns, it's them giving him the crown. Meaning all that we've done, all that we've served, all that we've labored at in this life, we place before you. And God is giving us, you, me, the opportunity not to go empty-handed. I don't want to look around while other people are casting their crowns and laying their sheaves, and here I am, and I got bupkis. This parable is all about what we can do for him. That's why there's no boasting. The guy with five, the guy with two, the guy with none, nobody's saying, hey, I got more. Because it's all for him, all for him. Let me move towards a close. What are we to make of these very, very difficult words of Jesus? And I think we struggle with them, especially kind of in our cultural atmosphere right now. Verse 15, he gave to each according to their ability. Because we'd like to think, no, we're kind of all level playing field here. And we want to create opportunity for other people. So this is tough because it acknowledges that we have different abilities. We all have very different abilities. Jesus makes that clear. So we kind of have to just swallow that and deal with that. The fact is, no one in this parable is given nothing. Isn't that true? Everybody got something. But some people got more because their abilities are a little bit different. Well, let me tell you, life's just not fair in that regard. I spent a lot of time in Honduras, a lot of time in Haiti, and a lot of time in India. And I'm telling you what, none of those people asked to be born there. And here I am in America. And I've got opportunities galore in my life. I've been given good health. I've got a good lineage. I came from a two-parent family. I married well. Our children are all intelligent, and they're employed, and they're out of the house. Our grandchildren are beautiful. I get to serve New Horizon Church. All those things have been given to me. Thank God for that. Now, there are incredibly successful people in this congregation who have taken advantage of those opportunities. And you may say, well, nobody handed that to me, but in our nation, perhaps we can hand it to somebody else. And that's the beautiful thing about that. And the one who buried his talent, he didn't get to participate in that. He lost out on the joy that could have been him. He misperceived the situation. He misperceived who God was. He misperceived his purpose. Friends, we were created for our God, created by our God, purchased by our God, that he might satisfy our souls with work that matters forever. And I believe this parable speaks to you and me at this inflection point for New Horizon Church. As we are exiting the UMC, entering the GMC, it speaks to our church, our personal lives. I want to say with all sincerity here, and not to blow smoke, I believe that this is a five-talent church. I believe New Horizon is a five-talent church. I've always believed that. Listen to this. New Horizon is a five-talent church. It certainly comes with its responsibilities, but God expects a return on his investment. It's been given to us. If you're a part of New Horizon, if you're here today, God has stewarded this thing to us. And the mission field in which we sit, that we might labor with the limited life that we have left, so that we might lay our sheaves before his feet. Now, I got a reality check for you here, and I'm going to share it because I think you can relate to this. The Bible says, have an accurate estimate of your faith. It means take an appraisal of who you are, okay? Don't think too highly of yourself, for sure. Take an accurate estimate of our faith. Let me just speak about me. I am not Billy Graham. I'm not Steve Furtick. I'm not Andy Stanley. I'm not whoever the big guys are. I'm not a rock star preacher. Now, I've seen some that aren't terribly good preachers, but I've seen those guys too. I'm somewhere in the middle. I recognize that. I recognize that's who I am. And when I'm weak, I know God is strong. And I know many of you too. And this scripture holds for every one of us, 1 Corinthians 1. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were before you were called. Not many were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chooses the foolish things. I think we have exceptional people among us. But also recognize that we're just kind of normal. I don't know that I'm five talent. I don't think I'm one. I'm somewhere in the middle. And I think perhaps that's all of us. But I've got some really good news here. Because what the scripture talks about is not comparing ourselves with one another, measuring ourselves by one another. If I spend all day measuring myself by the pastor with a bigger church, good heavens, friends. That's a miserable existence. This parable helps me understand that the gifts of God and what he has stewarded to this church are additive. They are additive. I take mine, add it to yours, we add it to ours, and we are a five-talent church. Where do I get that? That's 1 Corinthians 12. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You've got what you've got. You've got what you've got. You. We bring it together. We stack it up. It's huge. We are a five-talent church with five-talent people. We have a tremendous inheritance. God has dumped on us, has stewarded to us that which we can steward back to him in a huge way. Do you understand what we've been given? Friends, we are New Horizon Church. Have you seen our facility? Glory to God. It's not just those gifts. It's that we have been given the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has opened our eyes to the truth of the gospel. And we believe that Christ has died for our sins, is raised for our justification, seated at the right hand of God, ruling and reigning over planet Earth, and is coming again one day. And we've been given that we might give it to others. To take all the talent in this building and all the gifts of our location and turn that crank for the kingdom of God. God has stewarded us amazing things. I'm telling you, people, there are churches that would give their right arm for what we've got. And I call us today to pool our resources for the kingdom of God, that one day together we can cast our crowns before Him and say, look what we've done. Look what we've done. Look what we've done. I ask you to be a part of that. I beg you to be a part of that. I beg you that you would absolutely engage with our mission and with our ministries. I beg you to do that with your time, your talents, your gifts, your service, your witness, your brain power, your ingenuity, your creativity. Engage with us. Make it a priority as we gear up and as we head into a new direction. Let's join arms, friends.
A lot to think about with this message, this high calling to steward back to God what He has entrusted to us, to increase the opportunity and responsibility He's given to us to reach more people, to help bring healing and hope to this hurting world, to be His ambassador and disciples of Jesus so that the good news message can be proclaimed to all as we go, wherever we go. I so appreciate Pastor Mark Jordan and the work he does. And you can find out more about his church at newhorizonchurch.org, newhorizonchurch.org. The message you heard today was just preached a few days ago on Sunday, May 7th at their church location, 3002 West Bloomington Road in Champaign, Illinois. Now, tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, my two studio guests include copy editor and content contributor Rob Seidenberg, along with Sam Carroll, who volunteers and assists with editing with our Prime Lifetimes publication, along with being involved in helping international students. So he'll share some of his faith journey and life story tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.